compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back, and thanks again for listening. The number sponsored by Catholic Order of Foresters is 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. And, of course, you could send me an email at patrick@relevantradio.com. Cyrus, speaking of emails, you mentioned you had one you wanted to read.
I have a couple that have come in. You read an email from a fan of your, not a fan of yours, Gail.
About in 20
minutes. Yeah, about 20 minutes ago, and right. She really doesn't like the show. Okay. Anyway, we have some very nice emails that have come in.
I'm sure Gail's a nice lady.
Oh, yeah. I hope definitely. She gets used to it. I mean, if she likes Kale, she's got to be all right.
Yeah, that's right. She loves Kale. He's the bright spot. Kale's great. I agree with Gail. Kale is tip top.
Well, here's one from Katie listening on the app, and she says, not sure what Gail is talking about. I love your show. It's very informative. I love all the shows on Relevant Radio. I listen every day. So
that's nice.
Yeah, thank you.
From Katie?
That was from Katie. And then we have another one here. This is from Margaret, listening from Staten Island. And she says, good morning. I couldn't disagree more with the letter from Gail. Relevant Radio is the only place for us to hear news and opinions from a Catholic perspective. I listen daily to both you and Drew Mariani and love the wide range of topics covered. I also love to hear the callers. Quite often, the questions they ask are the ones that I myself have had. Hmm. I also love the bumpers. Thank you very much, Margaret. And the interaction.
That's the music, by the way, for those who don't know radio speak. Right?
And the,
well, that's nice.
And I love the interaction between you and Cyrus. Keep up the excellent work. God bless you and the family and your families, too. That's Margaret. Thank you,
Margaret. Thanks, Margaret. Where's Margaret calling from, or where did she write in from?
Staten Island. And I'm not sure if it's on Staten Island or in Staten Island.
Me either.
All right, good. And then we have one from John here. And I'm not sure where John's listening from, so it's probably the app. And he says, I agree with your choice of topics that you are trying to deal with on your radio show. There is a pervasive negative force that is taking over our world, and it has metastasized with the addiction to our cell phone usage every waking moment. With the internet porn, legalized sports gambling, legalized marijuana, the feminization of men, and the masculization of women, the solution to this problem is put the cell phone away. But we both know that won't happen because people's iPhones are as addictive to them as heroin.
That's so true. And who's that one from?
That's from John. Yeah, and if you don't think cell phones are addictive and your kids have a cell phone, try taking it from
Oh, my gosh, yes. Well, you're now dealing with that with your teenage kids. My kids are all grown up, but they're dealing with that now with their teenage kids, and it is just nearly impossible. If you make the mistake of giving your son or daughter a smartphone, you know, and the earlier it is, the worse it is. Like you said, Cyrus, just try to pry it out of their hands. It's nearly impossible. And the kids go ballistic because it's a real drug and they're really addicted. And when you go through withdrawals like that, and especially when you're a kid and you don't know how to cope with things like that, it's extremely difficult.
It's terrible to see as a parent too, where I had a moment where I had to take my daughter's phone away from her, and she just lost it. She completely lost it. And you see the addiction in their eyes and the way they clutch the phone, and they don't even want you to hold. If they're like showing you something like, hey, Dad, check this. This is funny. I'll go to hold the phone, and they won't. They're like, no, I'll hold it. You just, they don't even want to let go of their phone for a second. So then when you take their phone for discipline, it can get very ugly, and it's sad. It's sad.
Because it's don't take my drug away from me. I need it. I got to have this. And if it's suddenly gone, there's going to be a struggle and backlash. And I'm saying this not because I in any way, you know, am happy about it. Far from it. But this is, I think, all the more reason why parents, why you shouldn't take that step in the first place. Don't take the fateful step of thinking, well, it will be okay, and we homeschool our kids, and we go to daily mass and we pray the rosary, that is not going to protect your children. It just won't. It really is like handing them a stick of dynamite and expecting everything to be fine. And it won't be fine. 99 times out of 100, it's not going to be fine. And you may not even know about it until it's too late, but it's just a terrible decision to give your children smartphones. I mean, when they're older, you know, 16, 17, 18, they're going to work, they need to be able to. But even then, I mean, let's face it, there are plenty of adults who can't handle having a smartphone because of the porn or just simply the time wasted and the nonsense and the TikTok. And it's easy to do. I mean, there are times when I have to put my phone down and just say, stop scrolling. Stop. You don't need this. This is adding nothing to your life. This is empty calories. This is nothing good in here for you. And so if even adults who have their heads screwed on halfway straight are having difficulty with time spent on a cell phone, much less, you know, the really bad things that are out there, what makes you think your 13-year-old kid is going to be safe with a smartphone? So enough said. I think I finished that. Cyrus, I just saw another email come through. This one from Angela. I don't know if you saw that.
I have that. Yep.
Do you have that in front of you?
Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah, it might be good to read that because I think the gotcha is the subject line.
Right? Oh, that's funny. So the subject line is, you really are too political. And then you get into the email. Gotcha. Patrick, I appreciate you so much. You take on current events, politics, etc. You and others on Relevant Radio have literally revolutionized the way I think and live. Wow. And have not just made me a better Catholic, but a better person. Thank you so much. P.S. The bumper music rocks. And so do you, Angela. Thank you.
I agree, Angela. Cyrus beat me to it. Well, thank you for that. Isn't it interesting how there are just different perspectives on the programming and what it means? And I wouldn't be surprised if over time, our dear listener, Gail in Indiana, she may change her way of looking at it. We'll see what happens. But we do appreciate your commentary.
You've gotten emails from people that have sent an email just like Gail's. And then 3 months later, they send you another email saying, I was wrong. Yeah, and I've really come around on the show. And now it's an important part of my daily life.
God bless them. Well, I mean, I realize that, you know, it may not be everyone's cup of tea. And I'm okay with that. We try to do what we can for as many people as we can. And that, of course, means this is not a show. Sure, we talk about the Bible or we talk about Jesus. It's Jesus-centric, of course. But it's not all about Bible verses or theology because life goes beyond those issues. Those are central and important. But, you know, if you're dealing with a 14-year-old son who's got a smartphone and you're trying to figure out what do I do now, that's a real issue. And so we need to talk about these issues. A note came in from Alan saying, I love all the programs and they're all different and great in their own way. If they weren't different, you would have one program. And that's from Alan, Wisconsin. Yeah, wouldn't it be weird if like the same kind of show, one after the other, there'd be no variety? That's a good point. Here's a note that came in from Amy. She just wrote in a moment ago. She says, for those of us who did not listen to you, and gave our kids a smartphone, what advice do you have for lessening their use? How to implement rules? What rules to implement? And she's listening on the Relevant Radio app. Good question, Amy. So in short form, here's what I would say. The very first thing I would do, if it's possible, would be to not let them keep the smartphone. So depending on their ages, I mean, if your kids are 18 now, but they've been ravaged by having a smartphone for the last 4 or 5 years, it's too late. You can't take the phone away from them. If it's a 15-year-old or even a 16-year-old and they've had a smartphone for a few years, there's still time for you to take it away. It will be Armageddon. I can just about promise you that they will kick and scream and fuss and complain and pout and slam doors and all those things and probably a few more other things as well if you take the phone away from them. But as painful as that is, it would be better to just let them continue down that path. Now, if for whatever reason you must leave them with these phones, I would lock them down as heavily as possible. So a couple things. On the iPhone, which is the kind of phone I have, so I'm sure the same is true for Android phones, but I don't know exactly how to do it on an Android. But in settings on an iPhone, you can put all kinds of restrictions that are password protected, that if you hand the phone back to your child, he doesn't know the password to change the restrictions. Therefore, he can't get around them. So you can restrict when the phone will be operable, so it can just shut off or be unable to get onto the internet. There are different ways of doing this. And that's all in the settings section of the iPhone. You can eliminate certain kinds of content. You can eliminate downloading any new apps, for example. You can lock it up in such a way that it's, if not foolproof, at least nearly foolproof. I don't think anything is foolproof. But the real fool is the parent who thinks that if you hand a kid a smartphone, everything's going to be okay. So that's one way that you can lock it down. Another way would be to get third-party software. So like Accountable to You. So it's the word accountable, the number two, and then Y-O-U, Accountable to You. It's a software program that does essentially that, but it's external. It's an app on the phone. And then it has all kinds of things that you can shut down. You can get real-time alerts. So if you're, you know, at the grocery store or what, you know, at work or whatever it is that you do during the day, you'll get a real-time notification on your phone saying, hey, Junior is trying to look at this website, or Junior just typed in this word in a search bar. So you'll know in real time what's going on. That's one example. Covenant Eyes is another one. And Covenant Eyes, although I know that it would be good for kids, I think it might especially be good for young adults and older people who are struggling with pornography, among other things, because you have an accountability partner. And I think the psychological power of that is that, let's say that your wife, well, you're Amy, so let's say your husband, or let's say it's your, you know, your older sister, or just somebody in your life who you would really, really, really not want to know that you're looking at a problematic website. You'd be so embarrassed, you wouldn't want that person to know. That's the kind of person you want as your accountability partner, because it will create yet another barrier for being tempted to go into those areas. So those are two. There are probably many other ones. And I think those are things that you can do if it's now after the fact. Thanks for that question. Back to the phones. Let's go to Sam in Hubbard, Ohio. Good morning, Sam.
Good morning, Patrick. Patrick, I just wanted to share with you for a few moments. Mm-hmm. My wife and I were married at the age of 21 in June of 64. It's going to be 60 years next month.
Congratulations.
And that was the time. Pardon?
I said congratulations.
Well, thank you very much. Very welcome. Anyway, at the time we were married, and I was working in a mill, my wife was working in the grocery store, and we made a decision at that time, before I went to college at Youngstown State, that we, when we got married, when we started having children, my wife would be a stay-at-home mom, even though even in those years, that wasn't a big deal. Well, by the time we were 29 and living in Mission Viejo, we had four children, and we had our second miscarriage at that time. And but through all the trials and the challenges of marriage, God is good. There were many, many times where my wife, a couple of times she would say to me, Sam, could you bring home some milk for the kids when you come home from work? And I had barely enough money in my pocket to do that. Mm-hmm. But God is good. Everything worked out. We had beautiful family, beautiful children. Now we have 12 grandchildren and five great-grandchildren. And
wonderful.
Unfortunately, we lost a daughter. Lost a daughter to breast cancer a few years ago, but anyway, but life has been good. That's all I can say.
That's good. And is the point you're making, Sam? I don't want to put words in your mouth, but am I hearing the point is that your wife being a stay-at-home mom, that she was there with the kids, and would it be safe to say that that kind of made all the difference?
Boy, for me personally, working, I could call my wife at home. I knew she was there. And if I worked late, she was there to make dinner for the children, help them with their schoolwork. Then I would get there, whether to go to the Little League games or whether to go to the soccer games for the girls and in Laguna Hills. And all. I mean, it was just wonderful. I just knew she would be there for me when I needed her. And she loved
God
it,
God bless
too.
Her. So where, in, if you don't mind me asking, I grew up in Mission Viejo. What tract of homes did you live in?
I lived on Serenata Drive off of Liso Viejo. So, I mean, wait a minute. I'm trying to think. right now. But we were there for
this
4 years.
This is going way back. This is inside baseball for most people.
I had a car dealership in San Clemente. My kids were involved in Little League and Laguna Hills and Mission Viejo, and it was just a wonderful period of time.
That's
great. The children were growing up. I just loved it. So
I wonder if we ever attended the same parish, you know, when I was a kid, maybe. But in any case, God bless you and your wife, Sam. That's beautiful. 60 years of marriage. Congratulations. And thank you so much for taking a moment to share that with us. It brings me back down memory lane. Let's go to Gene in Las Vegas. Good morning, Gene.
Hey, Patrick. Hey. I just wanted to call in because when I first started listening to you, I thought you were a pompous and arrogant, and when I finally called in, you and I got into it a little bit over, actually a lot of bit over IVF. My wife, she had diminished ovarian reserve, meaning that the plumbing worked, but there was no water, so there weren't any viable eggs, and we had two failed IVFs. Despite this was, you know, after and during our conversation, to put it lightly.
Okay,
and couple of years later, we just kind of, because we had an adoption that fell through also, and that was heartbreaking. We kind of like, all right, this is it, God. If this is what you want, that's fine. We're gonna just, you know, devote ourselves to each other and just, you know, focus on traveling, having fun, and whatnot. And as soon as we came back from that first trip, she was pregnant again, and we're like, okay, well, we're not going to hold our breath on this one. I get our hopes up. We're just going to kind of keep it going. Mm-hmm. 8 and 10 weeks was basically when the heartbeat was lost. So, you know, at the first ultrasound, we were like, okay, you know, well, nerve wracking, and every ultrasound after was just nerve wracking, even all the way up to birth, because all the horror stories.
I thought you were going to say that maybe she had lost the baby, but the baby came to term and was born?
Naturally.
Wonderful.
Yeah, it was a miracle.
Congratulations.
And yeah, thank you. I'm actually feeding him right now. He's 15 months, almost 16 months old.
But this is all obviously subsequent to whatever conversation you and I had. I don't remember it, but it sounds like it wasn't, it didn't go well in what you and I talked about.
You and I got into it. Yeah, I mean, I kept on listening. It was one of those things where it was like, you know, maybe I'm wrong, right? You know, but you know, they just, I didn't like you, you know. Yeah. And then I delved in. I bought your books, got your audio books. I've read all your articles on Relevant Radio and everything. And the apologetics side really just captured my imagination, because I was a big fan of theology when I was in high school. On the west side, I went to Fenway. It was an all-boys Dominican-run Catholic school. So it was important for me to kind of like get over that hump and really actually realize that, you know, yeah, IVF wasn't a good thing. And, you know.
So did my, you know, so yeah. In the original, if I can ask,
yeah.
In our original conversation, I clearly rubbed you the wrong way, or what I said seemed pompous to you.
And, yeah.
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 Well, forgive me for that, but would it be fair to say that in retrospect, you have a different perspective now? Would that be right?
Oh, yeah. That's basically why I'm calling in, because, I mean, you know, the thing was is that I think a lot of the angst and the anger that comes from the show is from people who don't want to hear what they're hearing. And you understanding, you know, what the faith is and just, you know, drawing a hard line on it, which is what really is going to happen. Look, think of it as like a precursor of what's going to happen when we get our final exit interview, right?
Yeah.
Because we're not going to be able to pull any punches when we're up in front of the man, right?
So, right, right.
You know, it's a hard pill to swallow. And I struggled with it and, you know, just came to respect and actually like the show. I'm trying to get my brother to listen to it. So
appreciate that. And it says a lot of good about you, Gene. I mean, humility and also willingness to look further. And it means a lot to me, Gene. I appreciate your saying that. And I hope your brother, you know, let's win him over next. I'm happy to try
journey. He's on a journey, actually. You know, they're going to baptize their kid, and his baby mama, who is converting. So they're going through RCIA together, even though he's Catholic, and they're going to get married next year. So those
good
prayers came true.
Well, you and I, Gene, we're friends. Always have been, always will be. And I'm glad you called in today. Thank you very much. Be right back. Thanks to network sponsor PushPay. PushPay offers parishes a platform for tracking donations and sacraments, overseeing schedules, mobile apps to help manage your administrative load, and much more. Info at relevantradio.com/pushpay. That's relevantradio.com/pushpay.
If I thought you were my friend, I just don't think I could bear it.
Compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
All right, longer. Let's do it.
No end of entertainment with this. Thank you so much, Cyrus. You done good, Cyrus. You done real good.
Isn't that a daisy?
888-914-NO-1. Okay, I'm going to start over. 888-914-9149. You call that number. We'll get you on the air. I just want to acknowledge an email that came in from, it was here a second ago. And this is from, here it is. This is from Stephos, and there's not really much to go on to understand which direction Stephos is coming from, but it has to do with the Harrison Butker commencement address that he gave at Benedictine College. It's making the rounds on social media. People are in an uproar. Some people like really, really like it. I'm among them. And some people really hate it. They think it was just terrible that this man should tell these college-age women in the audience of graduates that, you know, things like marriage and motherhood and things like that are where many of them will find fulfillment. So anyway, so Stephos, I don't know whether you are saying, well, like, here's why people are really angry about it, or if you agree with him, I don't know. But he says, Butker is facing backlash over his commencement speech, et cetera, where he criticized President Joe Biden, suggested women focus on being mothers and wives instead of pursuing careers, and took a swipe at Pride Month. Okay, that all sounds pretty good to me. Here's the key facts. He gives me some bullet points. Butker bemoaned an erosion of traditional Catholic values in daily life, claiming that things like abortion, IVF, surrogacy, euthanasia, as well as a growing support for degenerate cultural values in media. So that's a quote. He's not saying that in his words. He's quoting Butker. Things like abortion, IVF, surrogacy, euthanasia, as well as a growing support for degenerate cultural values in media come from the pervasiveness of disorder. Yeah, I agree with all that. He criticized Biden for proclaiming his Catholic faith while being, quote, delusional enough to make the sign of the cross during a pro-abortion rally, end quote, accusing the president of making it appear, quote, that you can be both Catholic and pro-choice. Yeah, I agree with that. Butker told the women in the class that they'd been told, quote, diabolical lies, end quote, about pursuing careers, and that his and his family's success is as a result of his wife's focus on being a wife and mother, claiming that, quote, her life truly started when she began living her vocation as a wife and as a mother, period, end of quote. Okay, what's your complaint about that? I mean, if anybody would have something to say about what his wife feels regarding her vocation as a wife and mother, I should think it would be her husband. So are you denying this? I don't know. I don't know where you're coming from, Stephos. But so far, none of these things are problematic. He accused world leaders of, quote, pushing dangerous gender ideologies onto the youth of America, end quote, and praised the students at Benedictine for embracing their religion with pride, but, quote, not the deadly sin sort of pride that has an entire month dedicated to it, end of quote. Yeah, what's the problem with that? I'm totally on board with that. He also criticized the Catholic Church and bishops and priests for misleading, quote unquote, misleading their flocks by prioritizing familiarity with their parishioners instead of being teachers, quoting Taylor Swift, girlfriend of teammate Travis Kelce, by saying familiarity breeds contempt. Not really sure what the point is on that one. Is it true that some bishops and some Catholic priests have misled their flocks? Absolutely true. Just take a look at the priest scandals. I mean, do I even need to explain that? I mean, they're glaring examples, sadly, of where some Catholic bishops and some Catholic priests have indeed misled their flocks for a variety of reasons, not just prioritizing familiarity. And nobody was misled by saying, hey, let's be more familiar with fellow parishioners. That's not a real reason. But yeah, there have been plenty of scandalous examples of that happening. So I don't see a problem there. He says the speech was largely criticized on social media and prompted a change.org petition, as I was referring to earlier, calling for him to be released from the chiefs. Yeah, that's the absurdity of it. That you can't have an opinion unless it corresponds to the popular wisdom or lack of wisdom. So it just shows the hypocrisy that people who don't like what he had to say, rather than affording him the opportunity to say it and then deal with what he had to say. I'm not here as an apologist for Harrison Butker. I mean, I saw the Super Bowl game, so I know him from that. But other than that, I don't really know anything about him. And then he pops up with this speech, which I thought was good, really good in some cases. So it's not like I'm here to defend him or anything, but I don't think he needs defending. I think what he had to say in your bullet point of key facts is right on target. So anyway, for what it's worth, Stephos, thank you for all the time you took to write me that extensive email. I appreciate that. Let's go to Kim now in Whiteland, Indiana. Is that in the Indianapolis area, Kim?
Good. I've been listening.
We're glad
to
you're
it
with us.
You guys started here. Love it.
Thank you, Kim.
I am too. I just wanted to comment on the Harrison Butker thing. I feel like, just like you, he didn't speak anything that wasn't truth. Mm-hmm. And the reality is, when we're done with our lives, what we're going to look back on is what impact we made. And the sweetest impact we can make is that on our families and the people that we love, our children. I used to be a preschool teacher, and I began doing that and ran my own business in my home for 13 years when my children were 2 and 5. Okay. Because I wanted to be with them. And I kind of found a way to straddle both worlds, you know, being a working woman and, you know, someone who had my own business and still being a mother, which worked out great until they got older and started to resent the fact that there were little ones running around their house all the time, and they would come home from school. And, you know, I would say probably 5th grade forward and just go straight to the rooms. And they'd always did their homework and whatnot, but then they were playing video games, and just there was that disconnect. And my biggest regret is not ending that when it was no longer beneficial to them.
And so the kids, so if I can make sure I understand, so the kids would come home from junior high or whatever, and rather than get plugged in some way, they'd go up to their rooms and you wouldn't see them again till dinner, something like that?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. Mm-hmm. So I regret that. I regret the fact that I spent most of their formative years with other people's children. And I don't know that any woman who stays home with their children and as a mother, not just as, you know, a working at home mom, which is great if you can do it, but as a mother and actually spends that time with them, I don't think they ever regret that. You'll never regret that. No one will.
True. What is your relationship? I mean, this is a nosy question, Kim, forgive me, but
sure.
As you look back and you have this sense of regret, what do you see in your relationship with your kids now as adults? Did it have a long-term negative effect, or is it just more of a sort of regret that you feel, but you still have a good relationship with them? Does that make sense?
There are some long-term negative. Yeah. They're great kids. Don't get me wrong. They really are wonderful. They're adults now, young adults. But it can be awkward around them, you know, at times, because there are certain places we can't connect on at this point in time. They've fallen away from the church. They're very well-functioning, extremely independent, which is a lot of, I think, that's the upside to all of that. And we have a good relationship. It's just not what it should be. I don't feel like it's as close as it could have been had that time been spent with them instead of other people, you know, other people's kiddos. And then I honestly don't know if I'll ever be a grandparent.
So they're not on the marriage the track.
Especially is, I mean, they have girlfriends, but yeah, they're not, I could see my youngest, but my oldest, I think, has a little bit of animosity that so much of his childhood was his mom with other people's kids. And he would just get so irritated with them when he was younger. I didn't close until he was going into his senior year of high school, and he's 28 now, but.
So he'd come home from school and there'd be all these kids that he didn't even know. And he couldn't come home to you baking cookies like June Cleaver, you know, and Leave It to Beaver. He came home to you, but you were absorbed with taking care of the other kids.
Yes.
Yeah.
Correct.
And but you were also doing
to do with that.
But you were also doing the best you could, making money for the family budget. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there were a lot of blessings, don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. And I do still see my former students, all of them, you know, they invite me to their weddings and baby showers and give me hugs. Well, I mean, it's a wonderful thing. It's a double-edged sword is what it is. But it's just, I regret not making more time with my own children because I feel like our bonds could be a little stronger. I don't know that they never would have fallen away from the church, and I continue to pray that they'll come back, but yeah.
Well, there's always that hope. And sometimes, you know, and actually you're raising an important point that I think is applicable to your children, in that you now later in life are looking back and feeling this regret. I do experience that. I look back and I think, even though I feel as though I was making the best effort I could at the time, now that I'm older and wiser and I know a few more things than I did when I was 25, 30, 35, I look back and I think, if only I had done this, or if only I had done that, or more of this or less of that. But you can't change it now. You did the best you could, and things are the way they are. But I do understand the sentiment that you're saying, that it can be kind of wistful or maybe sad. I'm not quite sure what the right word for it is, but my thinking is that we just give it to God and say, Lord, I did the best I could. And I hope that what I did do fits in with your plan for these children.
Exactly. And I have to remind myself that it's not God's voice telling me I failed.
Right.
It's not. You know,
right.
And I feel like I did do the best. In fact, there was a time in 2008, I was the only income. My husband had lost his job and, you know, it was a downturn of the economy. And so it came into play as a huge blessing.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's just my point, I guess, of the entire phone call is just that I don't know any woman who would ever, ever regret spending more time with their children.
Totally.
You can't. You just won't.
Yeah. Totally agree. Like I said earlier to an earlier caller, you know, nobody on his deathbed, no mom on her deathbed is going to be saying, oh, if only I had spent more time at work, or if only I had spent more time watching TV. You know, it's just ridiculous. It's going to be what you're saying. I wish I had spent more time.
And I kind of feel like most of the women who are going to be up in arms, and there's going to be a select few that, you know, don't fall into this category, but I think a lot of these women haven't become a mother yet, because when you become a mother, you reorient yourself from, you know, looking at everything from a self position, right, perspective, to how do I live my life for this little person? It's just a whole different perspective. And yeah, and I think everything he said was absolutely correct. And, you know, it could be said for men in the same way that, you know, the greatest gift that a man can give is to be an active father for their children.
Right.
The greatest thing they can do.
It's that song, you're old enough to remember it, I'm sure, Kim, Cats in the Cradle, where the boy grows up, I want to be just like my dad, I want to be just like my dad, but the dad never made time for the son. And then when the dad is old, the son won't make time for his dad because he grew up to be just like his dad.
Exactly.
That was kind of my dad. Tearjerker when you listen to the words, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Kind of.
Yeah, it really is.
Well, Kim, I wish I had more time. I do have to take a break, but thank you. I bet you there are a lot of young moms and probably some young dads too right now listening and saying, thank you, Kim. You may have saved me a lot of regret in the future by sharing what you just did. Thank you, Kim. I'll be right back. This hour supported by Notre Dame Federal Credit Union. Join the nation's largest Catholic-oriented credit union and receive $200 when you add a direct deposit. Learn more at NotreDameFCU.com/join. That's NotreDameFCU.com/join.
Keeping it relevant. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. Join the conversation at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149.
Welcome back, and thanks for listening. We'll go to Penny now in California. Hello, Penny.
Hi there. I so appreciate all the conversations that are happening today, and I wanted to hone in on the kids' smartphones and technology uses.
Yeah. What do you think about that?
So I'm a mom of four. My kids' ages are 10 to almost 16. And I am an attorney who advised public school districts for years, including regarding technology usage and issues related to that. Okay. And at home, I have struggled with the devices for many, many years. It's been terrible. And I finally, in the last year, got a physical locker that I can lock, and I've locked up devices and have had varying levels of success in that regard. But I was listening to Relevant Radio several months ago, and I heard an organization, Screen Strong, on Relevant Radio, and am now an ambassador through Screen Strong, and it has really provided invaluable support to our family. And now we are focused on building our family and our kids' brains in a healthy way. Mm-hmm. Screen Strong offers really, really practical advice and resources, including parent courses and student courses. And I heard you were addressing a caller a few calls back. It offers a really healthy alternative to technology usage. It's working in our home. I've seen my kids go from grumpy kids that aren't focused to kids that are playing outside, being healthy. It's made a huge difference. So I just wanted to add that little bit to the conversation. I'm in the thick of it with our family, and that is one
kids?
Less thing. Yeah, so I have two who are just about to turn 10. They're twins. I have a middle schooler and then a high school freshman.
I see. So they're right there in the zone, all of them.
Where they're right there.
Yeah, their peers are getting smartphones left and right. And well, that's great. I appreciate the added information. Sounds like another good resource, Penny.
Yeah, it is. Thank you so much. Yeah,
thank you. Appreciate that. Let's go now to Amelia in Chicago. Good morning, Amelia.
Good morning, Patrick. I really liked Harrison Butker's speech, if nothing else, to just oppose the disgusting feminist message that women get today. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to see your take on if this was maybe some form of quote-unquote Catholic feminism. A lot of big-time famous Catholic moms on social media, you know, they go around, you know, I'm a full-time mom and I have my career and you can do it all. And you know, there's no limit. There is.
Right.
There is. Yeah. And many of them use nannies, maids, et cetera, and don't mention that part. And, you know, obviously they lose part of their credibility. And it also, I'll tell you.
Are you referring to like some, just to make sure I heard you correctly, are you referring to like some of the Catholic mommy personalities or mom bloggers or mom speakers? Is that what you're referring to, or did I miss who you're talking about?
No, that's exactly. Yes. A lot of the Catholic moms that, and some of them go around to retreats or stuff like that. But no one ever wants to mention all the help that they need in order to still be at their career at full cylinders and then mom, their momhood at full cylinders. That's just not true. One will always be at the expense of the other, no matter what. And if it isn't, if you're on all cylinders for both career and motherhood, then your mental, physical, and emotional health is probably showing it. So, I mean, no one wants to say that. It's just this, you can't do everything you can do. But yet, no, you can't. You can't. You need a tremendous amount of help. And at that point, if I have two nannies, I mean, why am I, am I really a stay-at-home mom? So, it's just, it's really difficult. I think there's just so many aspects to it, but I really like the conversation going on today.
I'm glad. And I think, thank you for saying so, Amelia. And I think it's a worthy conversation, knowing going into it that there are any number of people who disagree, maybe strongly disagree. But because it's such a universal issue, we all grew up, we all had moms. Some moms were working, some moms were home, some moms were, you know, they were juggling between the two. So it's something that all of us can either remember or think about in terms of our own children. My impression, now I don't follow the kind of mommy bloggers or mom, I don't know what to call them, but you know, the ones who their momhood is a big part of their public persona. I don't really follow them or stay current with them. But here and there, if I see on Twitter, for example, if this pops up, sometimes your people I follow will interact with some of them. I do detect a kind of defensiveness at times, or it seems like it's defensive, where they feel like they need to publicly defend the fact that they're out doing some, whatever it is they do, away from being home with the kids. And I've wondered if maybe it's a sensitive, or it's a sore spot. And because they feel maybe deep down inside as though, I wonder if maybe I'm gone too much away from my kids, or I wonder if I should be home, but I can't because I have this career. I don't know, and it's not for me to know anyone's inner workings, but I have noticed that, and I've wondered if that defensiveness might come from that, where people feel what you're describing, they just don't necessarily say it out loud. What do you think?
Definitely agree with that. And I think we all do it at a certain time. I'm not saying I don't, and, you know, but at least be truthful. I mean, if you use nannies, say it, you know, don't give me a message that you're doing it all when you're not. And, cause that makes, you know, many women feel like, wow, I'm failing at this. Look at her doing this, all this and that. Mm-hmm. And, it's just, it's really hard, I think, today. I know a lot of people call in, oh, I got married 40 years ago, 50 years ago, and that's great, but this is just such a different time right now. And there's just all sorts of pressures on moms, and God bless us, my goodness.
Oh, gosh, yes, I'm so grateful. Well, my mom, for what it's worth, she was a stay-at-home mom. My mom and dad had eight kids. I'm the oldest of eight kids, and so I remember, you know, it was great. You know, I'd come home from school, and my mom would be there, and I'm sure it was a drag for her a lot of the time. She'd rather be out doing things or pursuing other interests and things, but she couldn't because she had these unruly, noisy, loud, wonderful kids that would, you know, be at home, and they needed a mom to be there. So I'm grateful that my mom was able to do that. I recognize not everyone is able to do that. And I hope that nobody feels resentful or anything. If it didn't work out that way for you, there's no judgment. If it's not something you can do in your own family, there's no judgment here. But Harrison Butker touched a deep reality when he talked about that issue. And I think that's why we're all talking about it today. Because regardless of how you feel about what he said, it touched something that people are very attentive to and aware of. And I wonder if that may be why there is enough pushback from the other side, because it kind of disturbed or jostled, you know, the pleasant feelings that some people have about moms being away from the home, away from the kids and all that. And they don't like being jostled that way. So we'll see. But I'm glad you called in, Amelia. Thanks for the call. Appreciate that. Let's see. Let's go to Gabriel in La Puente. Good morning, Gabriel.
Hi, good morning, Patrick. Thank you for having me. Wanted to kind of really comment here on the Harrison Bucker, because I actually work in the sports industry. Okay. So as you can imagine, this is something that has come up a lot. And
are you in pro sports?
Yes, pro sports.
Okay.
So I'll just leave it at that. But yeah, it's something that comes up a lot, and I, you know, tend to.
Your phone just dropped out. Well, you're not Gabriel. Your phone just dropped out for like 10 seconds. So start over with that last thought, please.
Yeah. So it's just, I tend to see this a lot, you know, me being in the industry is where, you know, people tend to agree with like, hey, it's such a negativity, but you know, and I find myself difficult sometimes how, not necessarily like how to defend that, right? You know, when like this conversation actually came up a couple of days, and I found myself like, wow, how can I, you know, chime in when everyone is against him, right? And like, I tend to struggle with that.
But against like, Harrison Butker? Is that who you're referring to?
Yeah, so everyone's basically like, yeah, what he said was wrong.
Oh, okay. Pause for a second. Pause. I want to make sure I'm tracking with you. So in your world, the men and women you work with in pro sports, and I know we'll leave it at that, are you saying they're negative generally toward what Harrison Butker said? They don't like it?
No. So that they don't like it. And I'm over here, you know, right, as a Catholic, trying to live my faith and just trying to, you know, it's like, okay, how do I chime in when every single person, right, is against it? But I tend to struggle a lot with that. And it just kind of reminds me of, you know, the times when the apostles, right, and even Jesus, when, you know, spoke the truth and people, you know, didn't like him. You know, they didn't like that. And I tend to always struggle with that. It's like, you know, how can I be that example? And, you know, just listening to a speech, I mean, I'm blessed that my wife and I will be having our first child next month, actually. Thanks
congratulations
to the Lord for that.
So if you were to speak up in favor of the Harrison Butker commencement address, what would happen? I mean, among your peers, would they laugh at you? Would they argue with you? I mean, is it a huge deal with them, or is it just a passing thing?
No, I mean, I feel like it would be a huge deal because if it's like we're talking about, say, 15, 16 people, right, against one, for instance, or so, you know,
in your office.
And I tend to struggle with that. And, you know, it's like, but at the same time, I want to profess my faith. Right. I feel like I should stand up to certain things. But, you know, I just think in this world we live.
Yeah, your phone is doing crazy things. I'll have to say thanks for the call, Gabriel, but your phone's cutting in and out. But I think I understand what you're saying. And this is a judgment call because you're not obligated to go to bat and defend Harrison Butker. The principles that he espoused, I think, are worthy of defending and explaining and discussing. But, I mean, you've got a job, and it's not as though you're doing something immoral if you just don't say anything. I can understand those kind of pressures, but to the extent that you find ways that you can reflect to your peers, your colleagues at work, that there is more to it than just, you know, oh, he's trying to keep women from having a career. I didn't get that at all. I think he was raising the bar in terms of giving another perspective on this issue. But anyway, thank you, Gabriel. I appreciate your phone call. I really do. And hang in there. Let's go to Dave in Minneapolis. Good morning, Dave.
Hello?
Yes. Good morning, Dave.
Oh, yes. Hi. Good morning. Sorry, switched off speaker. I'll be brief because I know we're getting to the end of the show. I'm just commenting on the daycare provider mom. I grew up in this situation. I'm a little bit older than her kids are, but
she's the one who is busy taking care of other people's kids with daycare, and her kids would come home and kind of resent the fact that mom wasn't there for them because she was busy with all these other kids. That's the caller you're talking about?
Okay. Correct. That is what I'm talking about. I mean, our experience growing up was really not that. Our experience was of having just a really large extended family around, et cetera. And it was really the family's primary source of income also. But there was never any resentment or anything like that that crossed our minds, et cetera. So I she doesn't feel too bad about that because, like I said, it was basically like having, you know, like having a large family around.
Yeah, I could see that. I can see that. Well, I appreciate that, Dave. Anything more you want to add, or did we get
it? No, I just wanted to throw that comment in, and I know we're getting to the end of the show, so I will let you get back.
Well, thanks for that. Yeah, we are about at the end of the show. Thank you for that. And all of those of you who have been holding, I appreciate that. Also, hey, Raymond, in Newark, New Jersey, your email to me about interruptions. What can I tell you? A lot of people are emailing the show, and we give emails pride of place as well. It's not just phone calls. So when you start doing your program, and I'll send an email to you, I hope you'll take time to read it on the air. So thanks for your patience with that. We don't have any more time. I wish we did, because this is really a great conversation. But let's do it again tomorrow. Same Pat time, same Pat channel. And in the meantime, if you missed any part of the program, just go to relevantradio.com/Patrick. You can pick up where you left off or hear any part you didn't catch. Same thing with the Relevant Radio app. You can hear the whole thing archived there. In about an hour, it will be posted. So until tomorrow, I'll pray for you. Please pray for me. God bless you.